Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
They got to make a decision that they're going to change. How they're going to change is irrelevant. They're going to change. How are they going to change? They want to do what Ray got me to do. Sit down and write what they want on a card. If you don't know what you want, nothing's going to change. You've got to decide what you want. What do you really want?
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I am Rebecca Zung, and I am super honored and grateful to have Bob Proctor here with us today. Bob Proctor is obviously a world-renowned speaker, motivational coach. He's an author of many books, including the New York Times bestseller, You Were Born Rich. He's a law of attraction teacher, obviously an international reputation for helping people live their best lives and create exactly what they want in both their personal lives and in their businesses. He was featured in The Secret, as well as in the 2017 movie Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy. So welcome, 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 Bob. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure to be here, Rebecca. Thank you.
Thank you. So I want to go back. I know you've told your story, but it's really, really fascinating to me. I've actually heard you refer to yourself as you were a loser, you said. So tell us, you dropped out of high school and you were in dead-end jobs, and now you've become one of the greatest speakers in the world. Tell us how that happened.
It just happened, Rebecca. Well, I was fortunate, very fortunate, when I was 26. I met a man, and he introduced me to this book, Think and Grow Rich. But he not only introduced me to the book, he introduced me really to myself. I'd never done anything of any consequence. In fact, I left school. I went to high school for 2 months. I hated school. I just detested it. And the minute I could get out, I was gone. And, of course, when you go to the marketplace, you're selling your time, your energy, your loyalty, knowledge. I didn't have much of any of those to sell. So I ended up in dumb jobs. And I stayed in dumb jobs until I was 26. And I was fortunate enough to meet Ray Stanford. And Ray had, he'd helped a lot of people. And he got me to sit and take a look at my results. I had never done that. He wrote an R, a big R, on a sheet of paper. Then he put three letters, two H's and a W, down beside the R. I said, Bob, let that R represent results. And the two H's are happiness, health, and the W is wealth. And then he asked me, he said, do you think I'm a happy guy? I didn't know him very well, but he sure seemed pretty happy to me. He said, you ever see me when I was sick? I never had. I hadn't known him a long time, but I never saw him when he was sick. He said, you ever see me when I was broke? Well, the thing I really paid attention to, this guy always had money and a fair amount of it. I never had any. I mean, this is back in 1961 when you would buy 2 gallons of gas or 5 gallons of gas for $2. So I was always trying to hit somebody up for a couple of dollars for gas. And he got me to really look at what I was doing. And he said, why don't you change your results? You know, the idea of changing my results never entered my mind. And I'm convinced right up to today, there's a large percentage of the population of the world It never think, they never enter their mind they could change the results they're getting. Now, when you talk about results, you're talking about your social life, your physical life, your health, your income, your business. And he got me to really look at it. And he said, you know, and I was talking about not having gone to school, you know, never having a good job, always being broke. He said, wait a minute, that's the past. He said, let it go. I have a sand timer on my desk here. And I have it here for a reason. Sand in the top of the glass is the future. The sand in the bottom is the past. The past is gone. We don't know how much there is in the top of the glass. And all we got to deal with is what's right here in the center. And he got me focusing on that. He said, that's all you got is right now. I said, if you want to bitch and complain and look at bad times, go ahead. You'll just get more of the same. But if you'd like to change, I can help you. He said, in fact, I can show you how to get anything you want. Now, I didn't believe that. How in the hell am I going to believe that? I'm broke. I was earning $4,000 a year. I owed $6,000. I didn't own one place. I owned it all over the place. 100 here, 400 there. And he said, none of that matters. He said, what do you want? Well, you know, I never really thought of what I wanted. All I was trying to do when I woke up in the morning was to get through the day, pay the person that was hounding me for money. He got me to sit down and decide what I want. He had me write it on a card and put it in my pocket. And I wrote it on the card. I said, I'd like to have $25,000. Now, that would be like either one of us saying we want $25 million right away or billion. I mean, it was ridiculous. I didn't even know anyone with $25,000.
What year was this?
It was in 1961, and I gave myself till New Year's Day of 1970 to do it. See, I really didn't believe it. It was a joke. I mean, it was just a silly exercise he was getting me involved in. He said, listen, I don't care if you're laughing or not. He said, my way's working, yours not. And I think that's what caught my attention. He said, I want you to carry the card in your pocket and read it as often as possible every day. Well, you know, what it got me doing, Rebecca, is it got me thinking of earning money. And, you know, you'd say, well, weren't you thinking of that before? No, I was thinking of debt. That's all I was thinking of is debt. If a person's goal is to get out of debt, they're going to stay in debt forever. Because whatever you think about, you attract. It puts you in the vibration, Annie. We can get into that. I wanted $25,000. Well, I kept reading this card. It was a bit of a joke, you know. I was still just thinking of debt. But what it did, it got me thinking of earning money. And because I was thinking about it, I started to hear people talk about it. And I remember a guy, his name was Al Phillips. I'll never forget him. He said, there's good money cleaning floors. I said, I'm not proud of cleaning floors. He says, it's damn hard work. And I thought, well, you may think so, but I wouldn't think so. He said, but you should clean them for yourself. In other words, be in business for yourself. Well, one thing led to another. I ended up finding somebody that would lend me $1,000. I wouldn't have lent me $1,000. It's not that I was dishonest. It's just I would never have the money to pay them.
Well, you were already in debt, $6,000.
Yeah. But I bought $1,000, and I bought a used floor machine and some buckets and mops. And I got a contract to clean one office twice a month, $30 a time. Then I got another contract to clean an office for $65 a month. Now I'm up to $95. I was only earning $400 a month. Do you know, in less than 5 years, Rebecca, I was cleaning offices in Toronto, Montreal, Boston, Cleveland, Atlanta, and London, England. I had no idea what the hell I was doing, but I was earning a lot of money.
You had people working for you at that point, too.
All kinds of them. I had people working for me I'd never met, didn't even know them. And I stumbled on something, like here I mentioned Mark Victor Hansen. He and I stumbled on an idea flying to Malaysia one time. And when I'm on a plane, I usually play with numbers or words. And I'd written 1 and 6 zeros. And I thought, what's the big deal of $1 million? You know, we've written songs about it. You say, what would you do if you won $1 million? And I thought, what's so different about people that earn $1 million? And I had earned $1 million a long time ago. I thought, what's so different? And I couldn't figure it out. You know, I kept thinking about it. So then I started to think of other people that earned $1 million. And it dawned on me, they don't have one source of income. They got all kinds of them. And it turned out they have multiple sources of income. When I got off the plane in KL, I was excited. I phoned Mark Victor Hansen in Newport Beach. I got him out of bed. It was the middle of the night there. And I said, I got an idea. Why don't you and I do a seminar? We'll call it the $1 million form. We'll teach people how to earn $1 million by setting up multiple sources of income. We run about 7 or 8 of those. That's where the Chicken Soup for the Soul books came from.
Yeah.
Out of that seminar.
Yeah.
And we started to teach people how to earn money. But I was earning all this money, and I didn't know what I had done. I was living in England. I'll cut this story short for you. I was living in England, and I was...
This is fascinating. You don't need to cut it short for me. I want to hear it all.
Well, I was earning over $1 million. I would go down to the Playboy Club on Park Lane. It was right beside the London Hilton. And I'd play roulette. I didn't care if I lost, and I usually won. And I was just throwing the money around because I knew where it was. I knew how to get it. And I got thinking one day, how did this happen? Because it just seemed like such a short period of time. I had nothing. I was miserable. I was unhappy. Here I am. I'm earning all kinds of money. And I thought, how did this happen? And I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what I had done. And I started to think, I'd been raised with the idea, if you're going to earn a lot of money, you got to be really smart. Well, I knew I wasn't that smart, but I was earning a lot of money. So I thought, that's not true. And I was raised, if you're going to get a good job, you have to have a good formal education. I didn't have any. I didn't have a good job. I owned the whole damn company. And so I started to really ask questions. Do you know it took me 9.5 years to figure it out? And I started to study. I made up my mind I was going to quit fooling around in life. I was going to figure out, why did Bob change? And I've had some wonderful mentors. And I found it was simply through the repetition of reading this book, Think and Grow Rich. I read this every day. Look, it's falling apart.
That's the exact book that you got in the 60s.
This is the book. This is it.
And you've been carrying it around every day since then.
Yeah, every day. I read it every day. I just open it anywhere and read it, you know? And I started to listen to your recordings. In fact, just take a break, 1 second. I'll show you something. See this?
It's a little record player for those who are listening on podcast.
This is Earl Nightingale. In this recording, the magic word is the first of 12 you'll receive in this series titled How You Can Lead the Field in the Modern World. Before we start, I'd like you to know that I'm not going to try to tell you how to live your life. That's none of my business, nor is it anybody else's business. That's your business. Nor is this Lead the Field program a collection of pleasantries, platitudes, or Pollyanna. It is a summation of more than 20 years of research on one subject, and that is, why do some people do so well in life, while so many more do not? And the first thing let's talk about is the magic word. The experts call it the most important word as far as the results we get from life are concerned, in this or any other language. And that word is attitude.
Attitude.
I listen to this every day. I would take it in the car. Little records.
For the people who are listening on a podcast version of this, it's a little 45. For those of you who are old enough to remember what a
33 RPM.
Oh, it's 33
it's
RPM.
It's a battery-operated record player, and this is a record.
It's a vinyl. It's actually vinyl.
It's a little vinyl record. This is from 1961.
So this is pre-Audible, by the way, for people who are younger that are listening. This is before Audible, long before.
That was Earl Nightingale, you heard. Earl Nightingale was the dean of personal motivation. He was a broadcaster out of Chicago. He literally changed my life, but he changed a lot of people's lives. And I was listening to that. I couldn't put it down. I'd never heard anybody talk like he was talking. And I never understood what attitude was. Hardly anybody understands what attitude is. You might start asking people, what is attitude? Well, it's attitude is the composite of your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Energy flows into our consciousness. As it comes into our consciousness, we have the ability to make a picture out of it. We can think, and you think in pictures. That's in your conscious mind, in your educated mind. You turn that picture over to your subconscious mind. That's in every molecule of your being, and that controls the vibration that this body is in. Your body is a molecular structure. So it controls the vibration you're in. Your vibration on a conscious level is called feeling. And the feeling then controls your action. The attitude is the position you're bearing is indicating thoughts, feelings, and actions. It's everything about us. It's how we send this energy out that flows into our consciousness. As it flows into our consciousness, it has no form. We give it form.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it's like physics.
Reading these records or reading the books and listening to the records. And through the repetition, I reprogrammed my mind. Your mind is programmed, Rebecca, just the same as everybody else's. And it's programmed genetically. It's programmed at birth, genetically. All mom's DNA and all dad's DNA come together, and that formed Rebecca. That was the moment of conception. 280 days later, you made your debut on the planet. Then everything that's going on around you is going right into your subconscious mind on top of all the genetic conditioning. It's a damn wonder that anybody wins. We have got such terrible programming.
And what do you think the terrible, like, explain what you mean by terrible programming.
We are the product of past generations. And we are all screwed up. We teach people nothing about themselves. Listen, you're a brilliant woman. You're an accomplished business person. Why is it that only 4 or 5% of the population become financially independent? And let's say in America, one of the richest countries in the history of the world, 90-some percent people graduate from university with maybe a master's in commerce and finance, and they're broke. They got master's in business administration, and they can't find work.
Okay, so here, this brings me to a question for you, because this is actually one of my questions. So I can tell you, for me, the exact moment that it shifted for me. And I had been a lawyer already a long time at that point, okay? But I remember my daughter, who's now 18, she was young, she was little, and I was writing the check out for her summer camp. And I was like, every single summer, when it comes time to paying for summer camp, it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. How am I going to pay for this? Barely having enough money. And at that moment, as I wrote that check, I remember saying to myself, by next summer, when I have to pay for summer camp, I will not be struggling to pay this.
And you were a lawyer.
And I was already a lawyer. Oh, yeah.
You're a lawyer.
And by the next summer,
the general consciousness is lawyers make a lot of money.
Right. Well, by the next summer, I was making a lot of money. So the power of a decision for me, you know, to me, it's like the deciding factor. I've often thought about writing a book, the deciding factor, because I remember making a decision in that moment. So talk about the importance of making a decision and how that plays out.
Well, let me tell you, the largest chapter in this book is on decision. And on the first page, he points out that all successful people make decisions very fast, change them very slow, if and when they change them at all. I teach a lesson on decision. The only prerequisite to making a decision is, do you want to? Do you want? You wanted to change your income. That was the only prerequisite to make the decision. Do you want to? Most people... Well, I tell a story about a couple that wanted to buy a house. I said, go buy one. He said, we can't buy a house. We haven't got any money. I said, you don't need any money. He said, what do you mean? I said, you haven't made a decision to buy the house. What do you need the money for? You see, we get all hung up on how we're going to do something. It's got nothing to do with it. Wernher von Braun, when John Kennedy asked him what it would take to build a rocket that would carry man to the moon, bring him back safely to Earth, he answered him in 10 seconds. That's an enormous deal. 10 seconds. Nobody had ever been to the moon. His answer was the will to do it.
Yeah.
Andrew Carnegie in 1908 asked Napoleon Hill, the author of this book, if he would spend the rest of his life dedicated to an idea for which he would probably receive no material compensation for at least 20 years. In 25 seconds, he said, I will. And it was good because Carnegie only gave him 60 seconds to answer the question. See, it's got nothing to do with how you're going to do it. It's just you want to. People don't understand that. We should be taught that in school. The problem is we're not even taught to make decisions as kids. Our parents make all our decisions because they want to protect us. And we leave home, we're not, that's why you have people run around saying, what do you think I should do? They're usually asking somebody that doesn't think, you know, what do you think I should do? You wanted to earn the money, and that's what got you focused, and that's where it comes from.
Yeah, and what do you tell people, because I know there's a lot of people watching this right now or listening to this, who are going to say, well, but that's all well and good, but you were a lawyer, or you know, or you, Bob Proctor,
okay,
you had...
Okay, stop right there for a second, Rebecca. You were a lawyer. I was an office cleaner. Doesn't matter what your position is, do you want to?
Yeah, there are people who are...
I would tell most people to shut up and listen. The problem is they don't think. The average person does not think. Earl Nightingale said if the average person said what they were thinking, they would be speechless. Dr. Ken McFarland from down in Kentucky, he's gone now, God bless him, he said 2% of the people think, 3% think they think, 95% would rather die than think. Henry Ford said thinking is the hardest work there is, which is a probable reason so few people engage in it.
But what do you tell people who think that they need to have different circumstances? You know, they're stuck in a bad relationship. They don't, you know, if somebody's holding them down, you know, what do you tell those people?
I tell them to create their own circumstances. George Bernard Shaw put it very well. He said, people are always blaming circumstances for what they are. He said, I don't believe in circumstances. People who get on in this world are the people who go up and look for the circumstance they want. And if they can't find them, they make them. Napoleon said, circumstance, hell, I make them. You see, we've got to quit looking at our outside world and letting that control us. We live through our senses. We go by what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But that's part of the programming. You're taught to do that as an infant. We are the only creature on the planet, Rebecca, that's totally disoriented in our environment. All the other little creatures are completely at home in their environment. They blend in. They operate by instinct, which is perfect. We had instinct removed. We had higher faculties put in our place. We can create our own environment. We have perception, the will, reason, imagination, memory, and intuition. They are what makes us godlike. They are what makes us the creative being that we are. We can create the life we want. If a person would invest a little time and a little money in their own development, in understanding who they are, their whole world would change.
And how do people...
I work with people all the time. I see it happening every day.
So how would you tell somebody to start accessing those higher perceptions, those higher faculties?
Well, we have a program online where they can go and study just them. It's called The Magic in Your Mind. They can go on YouTube. We've got over a million people watch our videos on YouTube. Doesn't cost them anything. Go there and start to plug into them. They would start paying closer attention to what you're doing on your podcast, because I don't think you're bringing people on that's going to be complaining. They're going to bring people on and show people how to improve the quality of their life. They would start listening to you, buy your book, study your book. I mean, you were a lawyer to a certain point, but you didn't have any money. And bang, you made a decision. From then on, life is different. They got to make a decision that they're going to change. How they're going to change is irrelevant. They're going to change. How are they going to change? They want to do what Ray got me to do. Sit down and write what they want on a card. If you don't know what you want, nothing's going to change. You've got to decide what you want. What do you really want?
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
Well, we've got to get on the frequency of the good that we desire. And when we get on that frequency, we attract it.
Have you ever noticed that a fresh perspective can change everything? Well, Truly Divine can help you get there. They offer astrology and numerology, which can be excellent tools for self-awareness and self-discovery. And you can learn more about your own or others' psychological tendencies and personalities. They also offer natal birth chart analysis around your own unique birth chart and relationship analysis, which is an excellent tool for revealing how you interact with other individuals and how to overcome challenges in your relationships. One of their customers had this to say: "Thank you for the comprehensive chart. This explains a lot of the internal conflict I've experienced over the years, and now I'm learning to work through it." For more information, head to trulydivine.com and make sure to use the discount code BESTLIFE to get 25% off. This is a truly unique offering at a great value. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
So for me, the spidey sense is listen when somebody says, well, some inner voice says, this is too good to be true. This situation is making me uncomfortable. And I don't think it's, well, actually, at this point in my life, at 79, I'm really ready to own the notion that If my spidey sense tells me that this isn't right, it's not that I'm prejudiced, it's not that I'm judgmental, it's that, how about I'm probably right and I'll listen to it and I will act on it. You off my island.
And now we return to today's show.
You've also said that desire is the release mechanism that helps you release that energy. You know, but what about conflicting thoughts? What about those subconscious blocks that people have?
Well, that's a damn good point, and that is a problem. Desire is the idea, let's say you get the want, and then you start to get emotionally involved with it. You deliberately do this, and you let yourself get emotionally involved. That's your imagination. You put your imagination to work. It's by getting emotionally involved with what you want that the desire is built. Wallace Wattles, who wrote The Science of Getting Rich, he said desire is the effort of the unexpressed possibility within seeking expression without through your action. It's getting emotionally involved with what you want that develops the desire. Now, do you have conflicting thoughts? All kinds of them. When you go to change, all kinds of ideas are coming up, because you're stirring up that old paradigm. You're programmed to live the way you're living. And you want to break out of that. It's not an easy thing to do, but it can be done. That's what I did. I did it by listening to these records over and over and over and over, thousands of times. I did it by reading this book over and over and over. You see, I have a great library today. This is the first book I've ever read, and I was 26. I'd never read a book. We're the product of the books we read and the people we associate with. If a person wants to really change their life, I think one thing they should look at is the people they're hanging around. Because we're a product of the five people that we're closest with. Your income is probably the average of those five people. And yet we can earn whatever we want. You sit down and say, I'm going to earn $1 million, and you'll immediately start thinking, how can I do that?
Yeah.
You have multiple sources of income.
Yeah. And I think it's quantum law. I think it's just physics, you know? I think that like attracts like, you know? I mean, that's a law of physics.
Listen, you are a soul. You don't have one. You are one. You live in a body. You moved into it, you're going to move out of it. It's a transition. And the strange part is we're happy when they move in, but we're sad when they move out. It's a transition. It's the same birth, the same as death. We move back into spirit. But our physical body is a molecular structure. It's always moving. It never stops. Even when you move out of it, your body's moving. A body in a coffin is not dead. If it was dead, it would just stay the way it is. But it's not. It continues to vibrate, and it changes back into dust. See, if it was dead, it would never turn into dust. It continues to vibrate, and it disintegrates. Well, you and I have the ability to control our vibration. The vibration then dictates what we attract. Listen, this is a phone. If I have your number on this phone and I hit send, your phone's going to ring. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, your phone will ring if it's turned on. That's because I get on the frequency that your phone is on. Well, we've got to get on the frequency of the good that we desire. And when we get on that frequency, we attract it. The secret helped a lot of people. It screwed up a lot of people, too. A lot of people think, all you have to do is say, I want it, and you'll attract it. That's not true. You've got to get emotionally involved with what you want. You've got to move into the frequency that the good you want is on. Everything operates on frequencies. Everything. We call this paper because of the frequency on it. It used to be wood. We changed the molecular structure of the wood, the energy that was called wood, and we call it paper. You take water. You boil it. You change the molecular structure of the energy you call water. You turn it into steam. Well, mentally, we can cause energy to change. We're creative beings. We've got awesome powers. But we don't know much about it because we're not taught anything. Our parents don't teach us. The school don't teach us. Where the hell are we going to get it? Well, I got it in the start by reading this book and listening to these records. That led me into reading more books and listening to more records. And I started to hear him say things on here. I thought, God, if this is true, I've really got a hold of something. Well, it was true, and I did have a hold of something. Today, I earn millions of dollars. At one time, I give millions away. At one time, I couldn't earn enough to pay my rent. What changed? Same with you. I made a decision.
Yeah. So what would you tell people who are, you know, depressed or sad or stuck in a hole? I mean, you know, where does emotion fall into all of this? I mean, I know.
It all starts out in our own thinking. It all starts out in our own thinking. You know, Solomon was a pretty bright guy. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. Well, what do we want to understand? We want to understand that there's a power flowing into and through us. Literally, flowing to and through us. As that power flows into your consciousness, it has no form. Now, you've got a choice. You can build a good picture or a negative picture. It's your choice. What do you want to build? You can doubt and worry, or you can understand. Think. Now, if you choose to doubt and worry, and you get emotionally involved with that picture, you're going to set up a vibration called fear. That fear must be expressed with and through the instrument, the body. It moves the body into a vibration called anxiety. We don't express the anxiety, we suppress the anxiety. The suppression turns into depression. The depression turns into disintegration, disease, disintegration. Now, let's go back to the don't worry. What's the opposite of don't worry? Understanding. What do we want to understand? We want to understand nothing is either good nor bad. Everything just is. Everything just is. You make it what it is. You can make it good or bad. Now, if we look at something, we say, I'm not going to doubt and worry. I'm going to build a picture of what I want. I'm going to see the good I desire. Now, when I get emotionally involved with that, I set up a vibration called faith. That sets up a vibration in my body called well-being. The well-being accelerates, and it's expressed. We're creative beings. There's laws. This whole universe operates by law. Von Braun said the laws are so precise that we don't even have any difficulty sending people to the moon, and you can time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. Everything operates by law. Winter never follows winter. The night always follows the day. These are laws. Well, it's an absolute law that when you get emotionally involved in an idea, that law, that is going to be manifest into form. You literally create your own heaven or hell.
Yeah, and you have to believe that you already have it. Can you talk about that?
You've got everything you'll ever want. Listen, every religion and all science teach us nothing is created or destroyed. Nothing. Everything is in a constant evolution of change. We have the ability in our mind to cause everything in our world to change into what we want it to change into. Now, if a person is locked into what's wrong and they're in trouble, they want to stay there. They don't want to, but they do. If they would go to someone that understands what they're talking about and then do exactly what that person tells you. If a person comes into our coaching program, they got to do exactly what I tell them or they're finished. That was the deal I got. He said, you got to do exactly what I tell you. Now, I don't know why, but I decided I would do that. Everything in my life has changed. I have people pay me a lot of money. And if they don't do what I tell them, I fire them and I don't get their money back.
So you've also said that giving is one of the laws of the universe.
Absolutely.
Talk more about that.
Ralph Waldo Emerson said that that is the law of laws. What you put out comes back. Action, reaction are equal and opposite. See, our job is to keep everything circulating. Circulation is the first law of the universe. When circulation stops, death sets in. Everything's got to keep moving. Giving is one of the greatest secrets of success there is.
No question about it. And you can't, have a scarcity mentality. I mean, for people who think, you know, I can't give because then that takes away from me. Like, I won't have enough then or something like that.
They don't understand. What they're really saying is I don't understand there's an infinite source of supply. You willingly give and graciously receive. For a person to say, I haven't got enough, give of what you've got. You don't have to necessarily give money. Give a good word to a person. Leave everybody with the impression of increase. Give them a compliment. Go help somebody. I just phoned my sister. My sister and her husband, she's 88. She's still working. And her husband, he's not feeling that well. I phoned her and I said, what time would you like to eat dinner? She says, what do you mean? I said, what time would you like to eat dinner tonight? I'm going to send you your dinner. I bought a Chateau Briand last night from a steakhouse near me, and it was absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to get a Chateau Briand for them and have it delivered to them at 6:30 tonight. She said, really? I said, yeah. Yeah. But you know something? I'm going to get more good out of that than she is. I just love the idea that she's... It was just an idea that came to me this morning. Send Helen and John their dinner. There's a couple of restaurants around here that I frequent. I give them huge tips now, if it's takeout or if I go there, because they're getting beat up. My business isn't being hurt at all. Our business is growing. This didn't affect us. They're getting hurt. Now, they're there to serve the community. I think when they're getting in trouble, the community should help them. So I give a lot to them. I have a good friend, Cynthia Kersey. She builds schools in Africa. I give a lot into her.
So, to me, what we're talking about is the power of intention. And I have people who ask, how about, like, if you have an intention for someone who you love, for example, like that you want somebody to heal, you want somebody to get better, but they don't have that intention. How does that conflicting intention?
Listen, you can send a person good energy, but if you can't help anybody, you got to help yourself. You can help them if they will help themselves. Now, if you teach them how their mind works, how it manifests in their body, and you teach them, you can listen. The Christian Science religion is based on this. You go to a practitioner. The practitioner said, totally relax at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I want you to totally relax. Just be receptive. And they're holding an idea, and they're sending energy to you that's real good energy. Most Christian scientists don't understand what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. That's thought transference. And you can help another person. The distance means nothing, because when you come to the mind, everything's right here now. So you can help people like that.
So it's the power of prayer, really.
But you have a basic understanding of who you are. Listen, you know, I have a business partner, and you remind me very much of her. Sandy Gallagher. She was a securities attorney, very successful. Partner in a company, she came to a seminar I was conducting, and she started to hear stuff she had never heard before. And I was saying, what do you really want? Well, she thought she wanted to be a lawyer, because her dad was a lawyer, and she thought, maybe that's not what I really want. Well, you know, she's my partner today. She owns half of this company. She has made such a phenomenal difference. I don't understand money. I understand how to earn it, but looking after it, I don't want to. I think that's boring work. She loves it. So we're great partners, okay? She has changed our company like night and day. And you know something? She did what you did. She made a decision. And when she made that decision, everything in her life changed, and so did our business.
Yeah. So now I teach people how to negotiate, and specifically how to negotiate with high-conflict personalities, difficult people, narcissists. That's what I teach people how to do. And that's why my channel has blown up so much. I tell people that 80% of a negotiation is won before you walk into a room. And that 50% of it is your mindset. Talk about that.
Idea. Well, first of all, I don't agree with you. I think 95% of it's mindset. I think success is 5% strategy, 95% mindset. There's a woman I coach, Catherine Weishoppel. She lives in Germany, very bright lady. And for one of the first coaching meetings I was in with her, Gina, my assistant, was there taking notes. And I was talking to her, and she said, I think success is 5% strategy, 95% mindset. Now, woo. But intuitively, I knew she was right. And my mind went back to when I started. I didn't know how to spell strategy. I didn't know what strategizing even meant. I had a picture of going and building a city, building a business in Atlanta. I flew in one night at 5 o'clock. I was with my brother. I phoned a real estate agent. I had this whole picture. And I said, would you spend tomorrow with me if I rented an office from you, about 5,000 square feet and a long lease? He said, sure. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I'll meet you in the morning. I said, I just want you to drive me around. On the plane, I wrote down, go to the Better Business Bureau. I went, put an ad in the paper for people. I rented an office. I rented furniture. I got the phone. I had everything done. I flew out of there the next night at 5 o'clock. 2 weeks later, we were in business in Atlanta. I just had a picture. I didn't understand strategy. It's the image. The image is everything. You keep
believing that you can win, believing that you can get win.
5% strategy, 95% mindset. And I do agree with you. I think it's won or lost before you even enter the room.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about where...
Attitude.
Attitude for sure. I have a word for you that rhymes with attitude that I want you to talk about, which is gratitude. Where does that fall into all of this?
Well... that is chapter 7 in Wallace Waddles' book, The Science of Getting Rich. I talked about Sandy Gallagher, my partner. She teaches us better than anybody I know. Gratitude, Waddles said, he said there's the entire process of mental adjustment and atonement can be summed up in one word, gratitude. Do you know what that means? If you're disturbed with anything, something's bothering you, or there's something really disturbing you, if you sit down and write out what you're grateful for. You got to be sincere. You're really grateful. Your world changes.
Yeah, because now you're in receiving mode, right?
Well, you're not only in receiving mode, you've connected to your source of supply. When you're in a state of gratitude, you're connected to your source of supply. Gratitude is an attitude that will fix anything, anything. Every morning, I sit down and I write out 10 things I'm grateful for. First thing I do.
And why is it important that you write it instead of just say it?
Well, writing causes thinking. Thinking creates an image. The image stirs the emotion. The emotion sets up the vibration. Writing is very important. If you have something you want to do, a new habit you want to form, write it out in the present tense. I'm so happy and grateful now that I wake up feeling wonderful with a smile on my face every morning. Write that out 100 times every day for a month. I guarantee you're going to wake up with a smile on your face feeling wonderful every morning. The writing programs the mind. It's a way of reprogramming, changing the paradigm. The paradigm is what controls your life.
Totally. And so for people who are listening to this, because this is a lot of my community, they feel paralyzed right now. They feel powerless. They feel traumatized, beat up, used, and abused. Where would you have them start? Like, give them some more.
I would have them start by, first of all, understanding that there is someone that can help them. And that someone is Rebecca Zung. You can help them. You know you can help them. They've got to believe you can help them. Then they've got to do exactly what you tell them. And where they should start is where Ray got me to start. Sit down, write what you want on a card in the present tense, and read it as often as possible every day, what you want.
And ask big. Don't say, I'll just...
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's no limit. We're God's highest form of creation. We got a marvelous mind. First of all, we want to understand nothing's big and nothing's small. When we really understand that, we'll start raising the bar.
Yeah, because a lot of people, when they come to me for individualized coaching, and I now coach people in business and, you know, all over the world, literally all over the world. And I have people who will come to me and they'll start off with, I don't want a lot. I just want this. If I could just have this, it would be
okay. I would say, listen, if you're going to work with me, I want you to want a lot.
Exactly.
I want you to want a lot, always more. And if you don't want it, give it to somebody that needs it. But I want you to be a wonderful recipient of plenty, of abundance. I want you to see yourself as a person that attracts abundance. And you spread it everywhere you go. You're going to be just the distributor of great good. So if you're going to work with me, I want you to want a lot. Quit settling. There's no settling in my world.
Because the universe is very responsive. It's going to give you exactly what you ask for. So if you only say, if you say, I only want this, then that's what you're going to manifest.
That is because the universe is totally deductive. The universe can only accept. Your subconscious mind is your universal mind. It can only accept. It can't change anything. And if you're thinking sad thoughts and you turn them over to your subconscious, that's exactly where you're going to be. You got to see yourself with the life you want, living the way you want, being who you want. That's how you're building your business, Rebecca, and that's how they can build theirs.
Yeah, their business or their personal lives or getting out and starting a new life, getting out and divorcing a narcissist or whoever it is, whether it's a business partner or a romantic partner or whatever, wherever you are is the jumping off point right now,
yep.
Right?
You're right.
So where can people learn about you, your teachings, your courses, and all the great stuff that you have access to?
You go to ProctorGallagher.com or go to BobProctor.com. Just go to Bob Proctor. You'll find me. We're all over the place.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, we're literally all over the world. Our company operates in 90 different countries. We have consultants that work with us, coaches, consultants, and they're in 90 different countries. We're all over the world. And growing.
Go check out his stuff. Check out his resources. Do what he says to do. Start writing 10 things you're grateful for every day. Start writing out your goals. Write down something that you want. And look at it every single day. And start listening to audio programs and audio books that are going to reprogram your brain.
You know, Rebecca, you're saying there's some of them that are just in a terrible place. Understand this. If you can hear my voice, nothing is all bad. There's something good in everything. There is a law called polarity. That law decrees everything as an opposite. There'd be no inside to this room if there wasn't an outside to the room. You couldn't have an up without a down. You can't have a hot without a cold. And if you're looking at something bad, understand this. There's also something good there, but you've got to find it. That was where Ray started with me. And he said, Bob, you are the only problem you'll ever have, and you are the only solution.
Oh, I love that. Love that. All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been absolutely fantastic.
I love working with you, Rebecca. I love what you're doing. You're doing good work.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.